good to see everybody today. Hope you guys are doing well. Y'all doing all right? It's a beautiful and fantastic and wonderful Sunday, and it seems like winter came yesterday or Friday and is now gone. So I'm glad that y'all are here. Looking forward to today's message. If you're new here, just want to say welcome. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor. It's great to have you. You know, my heart is that you really can connect to God. You can connect to people that have a heart for Him and that you can grow in your walk with Him. And we'd love it if you take a moment and fill out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. We just want to be able to reach out to you and just say that we're glad and honored that you joined us today. And really excited about what's happening and what's taking place and what God's doing. And really, I'm just going to be honest, just in my relationship with both Him and with the people that I love the most, and which is why we're doing this series, which is called Keep Your Love On, because my heart for you is that you are able to operate from the place of love. And the reality is that we are designed for love. That can be surprising for some people, particularly those that came from very rigid upbringings where it may have been that love was misunderstood or love was maybe received a little differently. And my heart is that you can encounter the love of God and you can encounter people who love you as well. And really, the foundation stone of love and really this whole series is a recognition of what love is, because love isn't a feeling, but love does have feelings. And so my heart for you is that you recognize that love isn't just a feeling, that love is way more than that. Love is, at its foundation stone, a choice to give of yourself. In fact, the foundation scripture for this whole series and Keep Your Love On is really understanding God's heart for us. And in John 15, verse 16, it says, I don't know if we can get that up. It says, "You didn't choose me." This is Jesus speaking. "I chose you." Let me just remind you that the foundation of relationship and love, and I know I'm jumping right into this. Is that okay? Yep. It's us choosing to love, recognizing that God chose us. And we're to demonstrate our love towards others in the way that God demonstrated His love towards us. And man, my heart is that you connect with the love of God, because until you are able to receive the love of God, you're going to have a lot of trouble receiving love from other people, and good luck on trying to give love, because it can be really hard when to be able to give love when you aren't able to receive it. And the foundation stone of receiving love is recognizing that you're worthy of it. This is like way off script, by the way. Maybe I should go to my notes. But it's so true, because I know that personally and in my own life, like I've had to recognize that we are worthy of God's love and affection and attention. And until I can get to the place where I receive that love, it's very difficult. It was very, very difficult for me to show love and to give love, because I felt myself unworthy of receiving God's love. And even the people in my life, I'm like questioning, like, why? What's the matter? Because I'm so messed up. Because I'm such a jerk, and then just go through the litany of reasons why I couldn't receive love. And so here's my prayer for some of you today, is that you are able to receive God's love. And I want you to know this, because it's just so foundationally true, that God chose you. He says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." And I want you to know that you were chosen by God. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated His own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That means that at my worst, Jesus gave His life for me. He hung, tortured, beaten, battered, bloody, on a cross, thinking of me when I was at my worst, and He chose love. It's pretty profound. I want you to understand this. God loves us, and He chooses to connect with us. Today is all of the message is all about creating connection and the relationships in our life. And the fact of the matter is that our relationships are either in a state of connection or disconnection. That's really the end of them. We're either connecting or disconnecting. And maybe that's intentional and maybe it's unintentional. But I want to focus on a very specific level of relationship that we have. And we can look at this diagram. It's the spheres of relationship. It's really the levels of relationship that we have. And if we can put that graphic up, it's right here, our spheres of relationship. So we are able to have about 170, this is all, this isn't, I forgot to put this in from last service. I realized I forgot to cite my reference in this. I'm just going to be honest. A lot of the research end of the research nerdy end of it, I'm good at it, but Pastor Josh Bigwood is even better at it. And I know that he emailed me that, and I forgot to cite it in here, but it was a very reputable, it wasn't a Christian's research project, but it was, I want to say it was Stanford. Talked about how many relationships we can practically maintain in our life. And on the very edge out here is like, those are like our acquaintances, people we might know through work, somebody that we might know. That's about 130 people. Then we start moving in, and there's another level that's a little bit closer. Maybe that's extended family. Maybe that's some people that we're friends with, but there's not a real depth of relationship, even though we may know them well and we may hang out with them. Then there's that 11, that group of about 11 people that's like your family and very close friends. And these are all maximums, by the way. And so right here at the core of our relationships, and that's where I want to focus today, there's really about four people that you can really be super close with. And a lot of experts say that really, if you have one super close friend that you can share everything with, you're all right. You're really good. If you have two, that's not the norm, but you will never get more than four is what they say. And so my heart for you today is that you recognize that this message is geared towards the relationships that are close. It's that four. It's those people that you are closest to. For me in my life, that's my number one is going to be my wife. And so my heart for us today is that we can create connections in the relationships that are meaningful for us. You guys following me on this? And so what is the goal of connection in that really close? Here it is. The goal of connection is reciprocal love. In other words, you want to connect with that person because you love them. Maybe there was some sort of connection initially when it first started, and there was one of those moments, maybe it was with a spouse, maybe it was a best friend, but there was like a moment where there was a moment of chemistry and you realized, man, this, like, we really just connected there. Have y'all had those relationships before? Just boop. And I remember that with my wife, that there was, from the very beginning, just a really chemistry connect there. And it wasn't just based solely on the external, although many relationships, at least romantic ones, often begin that way. But there was much more than just a physical attraction there. And my heart was, I want to be connected to this girl. The goal was, I want her to feel like she's connected to me. And my heart and prayer is that in the relationships that you're closest with, that you can get to the place where you recognize that there's a connection and that you're intentional in those connections. Because the fact of the matter is that oftentimes we're not very intentional in our connections. And we don't recognize that our connections, our relationships that we have, are either going to be in a state of growth and deeper connection or unintentional disconnection. And I will say, sometimes there's some disconnect that needs to take place because maybe you're connected to some people that you know you should not be connected with. And that's not what this message is about, but I just want to put that caveat in there because perhaps you're here and you realize even now, like, God's putting his finger on your heart and going, why are you connected with that person? You know that's not a relationship that I want you to have. Y'all don't throw stuff at me. It's real. So here's my heart, is that we can look at some very practical things. It's very practically, yes, the goal of connection is reciprocal love, but what does that practically look like? What does it look like to have a foundation of connection versus a foundation of disconnection? We're going to look at the practical aspects of it first, and then we'll look at the spiritual truth and implications that we see from Scripture. And just so you know, you have a worship guide. And in that, you have notes. And so you can take notes in that. You can also take them on the app. And I pray that you do that. Also recognize that in your notes, there's scripture that's not going to be referenced today because during the first service, during that song, Follow His Heart, I really felt like God just spoke to me in that moment. And so I changed up my message a little bit, and I hope you're okay with that. You don't have much choice now, do you? Yeah, that's what I figured. So how do we practically, this is very, very practical. How do we foster connection in the relationships that we already have? Maybe you're sitting there and you're going, yeah, I want a deeper relationship with those four. Or maybe for you it's that one or that two or that three. I want to foster a deeper relationship. A fundamental understanding of how you connect with people is very helpful in actually connecting and for that connection to grow. You know, there was a book that Lisa and I read that was quite eye-opening, and I don't know that it's hyperbole to say that it was transformational in our relationship. It was called The Five Love Languages. And it was a book that was very simple. It was based on the premise that people receive love and give love in a way that resonates with them. So I want you to remember that love isn't a feeling, it's a choice. But when you are able to feel loved, it's easier to make the choice to love. Does this make sense? And so my heart for you is that today that you recognize that you are called to choose the other people in your life and that you are choosing to connect with them on a deeper level and make them feel loved, accepted, validated, and cared for. That they recognize that the relationship that you have with them is one of safety. And whether we like it or not, that feelings are a big part of us being in a safe place. Because if we feel like we're not safe, it doesn't work well. And so my heart for you is that you can connect with the people around you and that you choose to make them feel the truth that you're choosing to love them. Does this make sense, guys? So the book, The Five Love Languages, was key because its premise was there are five primary ways that people feel loved. Very simple, practical things, and we're going to go ahead and take a look at those. And so the first way that people will oftentimes feel loved is, number one, it's quality time. Quality time. In other words, if someone, their love language is quality time, when you spend time with them, they feel loved by you. Anybody here, you could say, I think maybe that's me. Maybe I'm a quality time person. Raise your hand. Like, maybe that's like primary for me. Where's the primary? Come on, raise them high. Don't be ashamed. Okay, the people around you, maybe they should be the ones. Y'all should look at them and spend some time with them. This is my wife's number one. It's quality time, or at least it has been for quite some time. Quality time. She loves when I spend time with her, and that makes her feel very loved. Like, if I want to be intentional in my relationship with her, I'm going to spend time with her because I know that it's important to her. The second love language is, number two, is words of affirmation. And people whose love language is words of affirmation, they feel valued, protected, cared for. They feel loved when you speak to them words that affirm them and encourage them, that you tell them, you're amazing. Man, I love this about you. You know, I love it when, and you did that, and it was so, words of affirmation. My wife is a quality time person. I'm just gonna be honest, I'm a words of affirmation guy. Like, I love it when people tell me, man, that was really great. Like, man, you did this and that made me feel like that's a primary love language, words of affirmation. Like, I love it when people like tell me, like my wife tells me, that's huge for me. Any words of affirmation people in here, raise your hands. Maybe that's your primary. That's a lot. Okay, good. The third one is acts of service. So maybe it's doing the dishes. Maybe it's taking a friend to lunch. Maybe it's go and drink coffee with your mama. Whatever it is, it's an act of service where you're going, you know what, I'm going to go fix coffee for mama this morning. I'm going to bring her breakfast. Does that make you feel loved? My wife, I think it may be flipping too, that acts of service is huge for her. So she loves it when I massage her neck and her shoulders. So if I want her to feel loved, I know, hey, I probably ought to spend some time with her. I ought to spend some time talking with her. And maybe there's something nice that I can do. Why? Because I want to be intentional about fostering and deepening the connection and the relationship that I have with the people in my life. Now, this is all very practical. Words of quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service. And the fourth one is physical touch. Some people, that's their thing. Like, man, like physical touch, that makes me feel so loved, so valued. Give me a hug, shake my hand, pat me on the back. If you're married, yeah. And physical touch is a big one for a lot of people. Anybody say, you know, I love it when people just rub on my back and that makes me feel valid. Anybody physical touch for you, maybe? Come on, raise your hands. That's a lie. Come on, men, raise your hands. Don't lie to me. Physical touch. And then the last one, number five, is gifts. I mean, there are people that love to receive gifts. It makes them feel like, oh my gosh, somebody thought about me, somebody cared enough to purchase something or give me something, or maybe even if it's just eggs, like a gift of eggs. If you have chickens, maybe you have chickens, you're welcome to give eggs. I love eggs. I'd be lying if I said gifts is one of my primary love languages. And so quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch, gifts. Here's what I want you to get out of all of this, though, and this is what you need to know. And this was a source of frustration for me for a lot of years. My primary gifting, love language was not gifts, it was words of affirmation. And my wife's primary gifting was quality time. And so when I look at the deepest relationship that I have, the one that I'm most committed to, that I want to foster the connection with, because I'm a words of affirmation guy, and I love it when people tell me nice things, I would go to my wife, and this is even after I knew that quality time was hers, and I'd be like, baby, you're so amazing, you're so fantastic, you're so wonderful, you are the best thing since sliced bread, thank you for... And she'd be like, that's nice, but why don't you spend some time with me? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm showing you love. Because, and it was a point of frustration because, at least with me, because I had a wrong mindset. My mindset was this. It's like, well, words of affirmation are my love language, so I naturally operated in that towards her. If you want to deepen the relationships with the people that you are connected with, find out what their love language is and do that for them, because it's not about you. And if you make it about you and you're like, well, fine, I'd spend some time with you if you tell me every once in a while that you enjoyed being around me because I'm a words of affirmation person, you just weaponized the five love languages. And you're fostering disconnection if you do that. Because here is where disconnection will come from if you're not careful. You make it about you. Don't make it about you. If you want to deepen the connection that you have with the people that are important to you in your life, you have to recognize it cannot be about you. It's I choose you. If you go, why don't you ever give me like words of affirmation or physical touch or gifts or acts of service or quality time? You've just said the exact opposite of what Jesus says in John 15, where he says, I choose you. Now you're saying, I want you to choose me. And this way, stop it. You'll never have a deepening relationship if you make it about you. And I want you to, this is just a very practical tool, by the way. Very simple, very practical. And you can actually take a test to find out what your primary love language is. And you can go to the five love languages, just like this with the number five, thefivelovelanguages.com. And you can find that. I would recommend that you do that. Maybe not in service, but do that later. Take that love language test. And if you say, well, I took it 7 years ago, actually, the experts say that it changes of every 2 to 3 years. So go back and take it again if it's been a while. Because my heart is that you connect with the people in relationship that are closest to you. And you deepen them. Unfortunately, there's oftentimes disconnection that takes place. So how does disconnection take place? I mean, we could give a ton of examples, but if we look back to the foundation, the very beginning of when disconnection took place, that's key. Because God created this world, he created a perfect place for all of us to live in the Garden of Eden. He placed Adam and Eve in that garden. And there was a deep connection between Adam and Eve and God. In fact, Genesis says that they walked and talked with God face to face. And God's only rule in the whole place was like, listen, this is a really big place. The only rule that I have is from this one tree, don't eat any fruit. Listen, you can have anything from anywhere else, but this one tree, just don't eat that. Don't. If you could do that, that'd be great. And then you know the story. They chose the one tree out of all of probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of trees that they could eat from, they picked the one that God said, please don't eat from that one. It was a violation of the relationship, and it brought division, and God called it sin. And the relationships that we have today, both with God and with other people, division And disconnection comes because of a violation in that relationship. And that is sin. Sin just simply means to miss the mark. Like, we want to identify sin with particular behaviors, and usually really bad ones. And we have a list of like really bad sins, and maybe this isn't so bad. But the reality is that when there's a violation in relationship, there's a disconnect. Disconnection comes from violation in the relationship. It says right here, though, and this is really honestly maybe not the foundation, maybe the symptom of it. It's pain. It's pain. Because something's happened unexpected, undesired, unwanted, and it brings pain into the relationship. And anytime pain enters the relationship, we're left with a choice. But let me just say this before we talk about that choice. This is a fact, and I don't like it, but it's just very true. You will experience pain in relationship. I'm going to say it again because it's just true. You will experience pain in relationship. Y'all are just like, okay, whatever. It's not fun, is it? How many of y'all, like some of the best times of your life have happened, like the best moments and the best experiences in your life have happened because of a deep relationship with someone? How many of you, the worst times, the most hellacious times in your life have been because of a relationship with somebody in your life? Let me just tell you right now that you are not going to get out of pain in this world. Relationships bring pain because we operate, unfortunately, sometimes out of our sin nature, out of the curse that affected Adam and Eve in that first act of disobedience, where we want to be good and we want to do the right thing, but we find ourselves very incapable of doing the right thing. And sometimes we don't realize that we've done the wrong thing until afterwards, but it brings disconnection and pain into the relationship. Man, my prayer is that we recognize that we have a choice. And the first choice, unfortunately, that we often make is to react out of pain. It's to react out of pain. You know, you slam your thumb with a hammer, or you step. Have you ever done this where you're walking barefooted, maybe it's on your driveway, and then for some reason there's a rock about that big, and then you step on it full weight on your heel? You ever done that? What's the reaction? Probably don't want to say that in church. How about in the middle of the night, you get up and you stub your toe? Have you ever done that one? My wife stubbed her toe last year so bad that it was a terrible a spiral break on a toe. And I think she responded really well. I'm just going to believe, I don't remember. I'm sure she did. I'm sure she said, "Dear glory me, that hurt." I don't remember. I don't know. I can tell you if it was me, I wouldn't have said that. Because the reactions to pain can be fairly extreme. There's three reactions that most people have in a disconnect because of pain. This is just basic human nature because of the brokenness of sin. It's fight, flight, or freeze. In other words, pain happens in a relationship, and we're ready to go to blows over it and show the other person how wrong they are and what they did. And like, I'm not going to stand for this. And we fight. We become a pit bull. The second reaction is flight. That means we just become an ostrich and we run. I don't know, is that like a really good analogy? Probably not, but like whatever. It's what I thought of, okay? And the third one is we freeze. We become like a possum and just play dead in the relationship. All of those are a response to pain. Why is that? Because the choice that we have when pain enters is one of fear or one of love. Violation, pain enters the relationship. There's an opportunity for disconnect. But whether we choose fear or whether we choose love is at the core of us making that relationship the way that God designed for us to have a relationship. And it's contingent on us, not the other person. The goal of fight, flight, and freeze is distance. It's fear-based. Wednesday evening, it was kind of getting dark, and I was weed eating. I have a big gully by my house that's right by my driveway, and so I'm weed eating by the driveway down in this gully. It's not a little ditch. It's like a 15-foot gully. I mean, it's big. And so I'm weed eating down there, and I'm not paying much attention, and so it's kind of big, so I'm doing like this, and I take a step, and all of a sudden, I see I actually feel first. My weed eater hit something kind of heavy and hard, but felt like it kind of wrapped up for a second. And I look down, and right by my foot, there's a 2-foot copperhead. His head's like that. It's a big copperhead. I'm like that far away. But luckily, what's that? Don't say, did you call me a sissy? And that I screamed like a girl? What? How dare you? Would I ever do that? I'm thinking she didn't say that. And I killed it with the weed eater, but it still kind of freaked me out a little bit. And it took me a while to get a stick and to make sure that it's dead. And it was every bit of that big. It was a pretty big copperhead. Made me nervous. And I came to this revelation. I don't like being around poisonous snakes. Pretty profound revelation. And the fact of the matter is that when you deal with copperheads in your life, you're going to deal with them through control and violence. I want to control that thing, and I'm going to make sure that I've got a prod, a shovel, a gun, maybe some really heavy gloves, cages if I'm going to keep this thing alive, but in reality, I just want it dead. And let me tell you, that's how we deal with relationships in our lives, that we look at through the lens of both experience and pain, because there's a fear there that if we get too close, we're going to get bitten poisoned. And I understand how we can be concerned, but my bigger concern in that concern is this, is that you don't operate in your relationships from a place of fear, but that you choose love. Because the relational choices, this is in your notes, the relational choice that we all have is fear or love. You react out of fear and fight, flight, or freeze. My heart for you is that you don't have actions that are based out of fear, but that you choose to respond and love. Isaiah 41:10, I love it. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you," says the Lord. 1 John 4:18 says, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear." Perfect love expels all fear. And when you experience God's love, it's much easier for you to operate in love. But if you have trouble receiving love, you're going to have trouble giving it. And instead of expelling fear, you'll operate in it. Does this make sense? And so my prayer really is that in the relationships that you have a God connect first, so that you can choose the other person as Jesus chose us. In Romans 5:8, that he demonstrated his love towards us. When we were at his worst, he gave his best for us. And he laid down his life for us. Do I do that in the relationships that I want to deepen? That is a tough question. Because many times, I'm just so hurt. I don't want to get hurt anymore. And so I deal with that relationship and really that person like I would a rattlesnake or a copperhead. It's not God's way. It's just not God's way. So what is God's way? Let's look at Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, here's what we see. We see first Jesus, he's speaking about the parable of the lost sheep. The chapter begins, and Jesus tells a story of how the shepherd had 100 sheep, and he takes them at night, he brings them into the fold, and as he counts them, he realizes that there's 99 sheep, and that they're missing one sheep. So he realizes, I got 99, but I'm missing one. So he locks up the 99 nice and safe, and then he goes out in the middle of the night to find the one lost sheep. He tells that story, and he doesn't give any explanation. And then immediately he begins to tell another story. And he tells this story about this woman who lost a coin, a very valuable coin, and she can't find it at all. She doesn't know where she placed it. So she turns her house inside out, upside down, until she finds the coin. Both of those parables talk about God's heart for that one who is strayed away, and the value that they have. And then it says in verse 11, and this is where we're going to pick this up. It says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had 2 sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his 2 sons. We're just going to look at this for a moment. The younger son told his father, hey, I really don't care anything about you, and I don't care that you're living. I'd prefer for you to be dead so I could have all of your stuff. So what I'd like, even though you are living, and that's kind of an inconvenience for me, I'd like all of your stuff now. Unbelievably dishonoring. What does the father do? This is Jesus telling us. So I'm assuming that in this picture, he's the father. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Wow, that's pretty, to me, that's, as I read that this week, it was just kind of eye-opening how a good father handled this situation. Because the reality is somebody violates the relationship of honor with me, how would you respond? The next verse, in verse 13, it says, a few days later, this younger son packed up all of his belongings and he moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About that time, the money ran out and a great famine swept over the land. In other words, he's doing whatever he wants. And he began to starve. Just stop right there. Whenever you do what you want in a relationship at the expense of the other person and you act dishonorably, and you may have made it in your mind why that person is not worthy of honor, they're not the ones who starve relationally, you are. Great famine swept over the land. He began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Let me just tell you, when you do your own thing long enough, you're going to end up at the place where you're starved. When you do your own thing long enough and you don't care about how you treat other people in the relationship, you're going to be alone, you're going to be starving, and in the end, you're going to be eating the garbage and the trash that everybody else throws out, because there is a need that we all have that is as strong as us needing food, and it is needing deep relational connection that begins first with God, but it's not an either or, it's a both and, where we need that connection with God, but we also need the connection with other people. And if you choose your way in violation of the relationship with God or in violation with the relationship that you have with other people, you will be at the place where you starve relationally, and where even the garbage looks good to you because you're so hungry for something meaningful in your life that's only found in God and in God relationships, of those close people that if you listen to him, he'll speak to you about those relationships. And let me tell you, I know what it's like to live in that place, and it's miserable. Verse 17, though, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. Here I am dying of hunger. Verse 18. I'll go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. Look at this. Relational violation and sin. And the relationships where we have hurt someone else. The disconnect is not just between me and that person. It's between me and God first, because I violated the relationship with him by treating very, very cheaply with no value to the person that I've hurt because I've wanted my way. Go back to the parable of the lost sheep. Go back to the parable of the coin. Remember, this follows it. And in both of those, Jesus is saying, I go after that one. And people have such value. And when we choose our way in a relationship, we say that I am more valuable than you. And we become exactly opposite of Jesus in John chapter 15, where he says, I choose you. You guys following me? Because y'all are pretty quiet. He says, I'll go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, in verse 19. And I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. By the way, violation in relationship ends up with you feeling unworthy in general. And I really believe there's a deep seed of rejection there when we believe the lie of the enemy that we're not worthy, that first manifests itself in a relationship with God, and we feel like we're not worthy of his love, and the terrible relationships that we may have with the people in our lives probably stem from that. It's really a lie of the seed of rejection in our life. And this young man finds himself having dishonored his father, recognizing that he sinned against God, he sinned against the people that he had a deep relationship with that were obviously God connections. And then verse 20, I love this though, gosh, it's so amazing. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It says, so he returned home to his father. And while, look at this, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. He returned home to his father. For those of you that have violated the relationship that you may have had with somebody that's close to you, you need to return home. You need to return back to that place where the violation took place and the person that you offended. You need to return home when you've had the revelation that what you did was an offense, not just to that person. And you can, let me just say this too. You can have every reason under the sun of like, yeah, well, they did this. But if you don't, you can be right, but your heart can be wrong. I hope this makes sense. And at some point, you'll have to decide, do I want to be right or do you want relationship in your life? He returned home to his father while he was still a long way off. Look at this. His father saw him coming and filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. While he was a long way off, the father saw him. And maybe you're the prodigal son in this story, and maybe you're the one who's the offender in the relationship. And perhaps today God's calling you to go back and make that right. Or perhaps you're the one who's been hurt and wounded, and you've put up walls because you're protecting yourself, and you view that person, whether you realize it or not, you're putting up so many walls that you view them through the lens of them being a copperhead. And you deal with them with control and violence and distance, not because you don't love them, you do, but you don't recognize that you're operating out of fear. And let me just say that unconditional love and acceptance trumps all of this, and we're gonna explain that in just a moment. My heart is that if you're the offender, go back and make it right. And if you're the one who's been hurt, this should be your heart in all of it, that you're looking for the relationship to be made right. Let me just tell you, the distance in the relationship didn't come from the father. Who did it come from? It came from the son. It came from the one who was offensive. And you may have to say, you know what? You need to go do your thing, but this is what God has given me. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. He was looking for him. And then what was he filled with? Love. And compassion. Too many people don't have deep connections because they've been hurt and they hold on to anger and bitterness, and it turns into hate, and they can't even see the person correctly because they're viewing them through the lens of offense, hurt, and pain. Not recognizing that's a fear response, not a faith response. It's fear, it's not love. He was filled with love and compassion. And he ran to his son, and he embraced him and kissed him. The foundation of connection, three simple things as we wrap up. Number one, the foundation of connection is the first one is this. I unconditionally accept you. I unconditionally accept you. That doesn't mean that you agree with them. You don't agree with their behavior. You don't have to agree with their choices. But you choose to unconditionally accept them. What does that look like? It looks like this. You are not me. I am not you. I will not control you in this relationship. It's a choice not to control in the relationship. Let me just remind you that the enemy is a master of control, and God is a God of freedom who wants us to choose him because he chose us. I unconditionally accept is I recognize you are you. I'm me. I'm not going to control you. I don't have to agree with your choices. I don't have to agree with what you've done. I don't have to agree with where you are. But I choose to unconditionally accept you. The second thing, the foundation of connection, I unconditionally love you. I unconditionally love you. What does unconditional love look like? Looks like this. No matter what you do, I will always choose to connect with you. It's the Father devastated, I'm sure, by a son that he nurtured, loved, raised, a good father, and yet his son made his own choice, brought disconnection. And yet the father chose not to control him. When his son asked for that money, he didn't say, over my dead body. And he chose to operate out of love rather than fear. And he clearly said, no matter what you do, I'll always choose to connect with you. That's why when his son made the turn, started to come back home, his dad was already looking for him, and he ran to him. Foundation of connection, unconditional acceptance, unconditional love, and here's the third one. Pursuit. Pursuit. Love isn't a feeling, though it has them, and they're important. Love is a choice. Connection is a choice to pursue meaningful, deep relationship. Understanding that for that to happen, your role, unconditional acceptance, unconditional love. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here and you just know that God's dealing with you today. And maybe the relationships in your life, maybe it's a marriage relationship or a family relationship or a friendship that you know it's on rocky ground. And today God is speaking to you to choose, not to control, to accept. To choose to unconditionally love. And that you can say truly, no matter what you do, I'm going to pursue connection with you. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know this message is for me, just right where you are. Nobody's looking around. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Wow. Father, I just pray for those that have their hands raised, that, Lord, that there is just a connection first with you, that, Lord, that they sense your heart in all of this, that, Lord, they recognize that they're worthy to receive your love, and that you're their source of identity, security, peace. Lord, I pray you speak to them about who they are right now. Father, I just pray that you open their eyes to see the people that they're in relationship with as you see them. Maybe it's a lost one. Maybe it's a sheep that's strayed away. And Father, they see the value of that person. Lord, I pray you bring healing to the areas of pain in their life, whether it's betrayal, dishonor, unfaithfulness, disrespect. Lord, I just pray healing. I just pray that you restore relationships. Lord, I just speak that there's some kids that are coming back home. There's some spouses that are coming back home. Lord, I just pray that you prepare hearts for that, to operate in love, not fear. Maybe you're here and maybe you have good connections with the people in your life, but you don't have much of a God connection. All love emanates from him. It's 1 John 4:8, that God is love. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Revelation 3:20 says that Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts. And today, he's pursuing you for a relationship. And if you've never done that before, it's really simple. You just open your heart to him and say, Jesus, I sense you. I hear you knocking at the door of my heart. That's not an audible, physical knock, but you can just tell that God's tugging on your heart. Maybe today, you know that today is your day to open that door to him. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. I see you guys. Thank you. Well, here's how we do that. Can we just all pray together? Just say, Dear God, I open my heart to you. I turn from my ways. I don't want to violate the relationship. I choose your way. I receive your love. I recognize my sin. I receive your forgiveness, Jesus. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just give God a hand for what's going on in people's lives? I love it. Man, a couple things. I want you to get connected to God. And so the first is this. In just a moment, our ministry team will be up here. Don't miss out on an opportunity to pray with somebody. Something really profound happens when we go to God in prayer with other people. It's a God connect. It can also be a people connect. And if you're looking to connect to our church, listen, plug into Grow. It takes place during the service, actually every week, right outside in that outside room. If you went out those doors, right there to the right at 11 o'clock, provide some food, childcare. But it's an opportunity for you to connect to not just leadership, but to the life of the church. And man, my heart is that you get plugged in, you become a member there, and get plugged into teams there. Y'all may not see it, we have about 120 people every weekend that serve and make all this possible. So grateful for that. It's so life-giving, and I want you guys to be a part of, first, a relationship with God, then a relationship with godly people. And I also want you to know this, I say it all the time, so true though, gosh, the best is yet to come. Love you guys, love being your pastor, have a wonderful day.